What's up, guys? Welcome back to Reality, your favorite podcast. I am your co-host, Brandon.
And I'm Lily, and today we are going to be reviewing Listen to Your Heart's final episode, episode number 6.
The finale. We made it. We have watched the entire season of the inaugural Listen to Your Heart from The Bachelor, and there's a lot that happened, and we're officially at the end.
Yeah, it was a very short season. We have a lot of opinions. Let's kind of give our overall thoughts on the show at the end and just go through how this episode went. We'll obviously discuss the winners, and then we can give some updates on what the couples are doing post Listen to Your Heart.
And what Brandon and Lily are doing post Listen to Your Heart. So yes, stay tuned for that.
Because we have to take this podcast somewhere else now that this ship has sailed.
We had a really good plan. We had it all mapped out. That's what we do, especially Lily. She maps things out, and we had it all mapped out, the dates and everything. Listen to Your Heart went according to plan, obviously, but now with The Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise not happening on schedule or at all, it's really put a wrinkle into our plans, but don't worry. We are adaptable.
We are adaptable. If anything has shown us that, it is that we are adaptable. Not only did all of this ruin our plans for The Bachelor and what we're going to be reviewing next, but it's really changing our life plans as well.
Yeah, our real life. Yeah, outside of this podcast and outside of the Bachelor world, we've definitely had some plans that have been shaken up, and we don't really know a lot. We're just kind of taking it step by step,
going with the flow. But with that said, let's go ahead and jump right in to the final episode of Listen to Your Heart.
Dun dun dun. What'd you think?
This episode itself, I'd say, was pretty good. I mean, there was drama. There was redemption.
Redemption? Ooh, there was winning and losing.
There were performances.
There were judges. Oh, look. Okay, so I guess what we kind of got at it last episode that we talked about it. You know, this concept of the show, we really enjoyed it. But it's difficult to fill an entire two-hour show when there's only three couples remaining. And that's kind of how it's been this past couple episodes. It's been a little bit boring. It's been a little bit manufactured. It's been a little bit forced with the juicy stuff happening at the end, the stuff we really want to see. And that was kind of the same thing with this episode. Overall, I'd like to say that I enjoyed the show. This episode, not as much. Episodes 5 and 6 were a little slow for me, a little hard to keep my attention. Overall, I really did enjoy the show.
So they start off, they're flying to Nashville, which we knew it was going to come here. Half the cast was from Nashville, so it makes sense that this is where they end. Even though apparently Brandon has informed me that Austin is actually the live music capital in the U.S.
Right, it's semantics. The live music capital of the world or whatever is Austin, but Nashville is called Music City. So that live, you know, that live in the beginning, that's really the differentiator. But yeah, just a little tidbit for you if you didn't know.
Right, so they three couples come to Nashville, and then we have them meeting Chris in the theater that they're going to perform in later. And this is probably the first episode that Chris hasn't just completely changed the rules. Like, Chris said some things, but it made sense. It progressed along the Bachelor journey. We find out that they are going to have one final date with Fantasy Suites, which we expected to come.
Yeah, I don't think Chris changed the episode, like changed the rules last episode. I think that was pretty normal.
They went on the tour bus and stuff.
Oh, well, whatever. That's just like a...
But that's date, what we're used to. We're used to him coming and kind of dropping a bomb or something that's changing the game up that is different from what we normally see with The Bachelor. And this was kind of in tune with the rest of the show. Tune.
Nice. Pun intended.
Pun intended.
But yeah, Chris was getting really serious and talking about, you know, he was kind of putting a bow on the entire thing, saying like, this is what you came here for. Not only did you come to perform, but you also came to find a connection and fall in love, blah, blah, blah. And while he's saying that, they, you know, obviously panned to the contestants and the couples. And it was clear that Matt was crawling in his skin. He was so uncomfortable. And you could tell something was going on with him. And that obviously was, you know, the theme early on in this episode.
If you've never seen The Bachelor before, too, because we know Matt's infamous Chris Hansen comment. Like, if you've never seen The Bachelor.
That feels like years ago.
I know. What I'm saying is, if you've never seen The Bachelor, this whole process must seem so ludicrous. So I would understand why he would be freaking out. Whereas then they kind of hinted at Jamie is a mega Bachelor fan. I don't know if you catch that. But right. So she, you know, someone like her, she knows what to expect and how this is going to progress to some level.
And it's pretty funny because no matter what Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise, Listen to Your Heart season it is, there's always that one person that is kind of the unique one in that they are very rational and they think very like real life terms. And I think that's just what Matt was doing in this entire Definitely. Season, really. But you know, that doesn't really work in this kind of show. So, you know, Chris talks to them, tells them what's going on. And then they immediately go into getting their songs together, right?
Right. And this week they're performing two songs.
Right. Right. So they're performing two songs and each of the three couples they find out what the two songs that they're going to be singing are.
Right. And then they go right into practicing their songs together. And this is when you really start to see like the Rudy and Matt situation start to really build up. We can tell there's going to be some sort of serious confrontation when Matt kind of whispers to Rudy, like, after this, I want us to still talk. Or he said something along those lines.
Yeah, they were all sitting there on the couch. And that's exactly what he said. He says, we need to talk after this. So you could tell something was definitely going wrong with Matt.
Yeah. Basically, like, all the other couples are practicing their songs. They show Matt pacing. And then finally, him and Rudy have this confrontation. And the basis of it was that Matt feels like they are not at the same level as the other couples. What did you think about that?
It was interesting because obviously it's easy to compare where you're at versus the people that you've been around with these past Right. couple weeks. I don't think it's the right thing to do. Like, I don't think you should be able to, or you should be comparing your relationship to others, because I think, like we talked about last week, you know, you're allowed to be on different pages at different times and you're allowed to be taking your relationship wherever you would like it to go. So obviously, you know, that's easier said than done though. So you can quickly get into your head comparing yourself with Chris and Bree and Jamie and Trevor.
Comparison really is the root of all evil. I think that Rudy and Matt, maybe we're not on the same emotional level as the other couples, but they were definitely musically, maybe even ahead of the other couples in terms of like the way they performed together, the way they sounded. So I'm almost wondering if there was more pressure from the producers or maybe something that has been said that we haven't necessarily seen of where they have to be emotionally, because otherwise it doesn't really make sense to me why he would freak out all of a sudden and want to leave, because this could be a move for their career. So it just seemed like maybe there was something else going on.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because actually one thing I don't like is that it seems like there has to be a decision that's made.
Right.
Like, they can't have these conversations and just leave it at the conversation. Like, there has to be either we're moving forward or we're breaking up.
Right.
Which I don't like, because I feel like, again, that was a very normal conversation for the two of them to have and very normal doubts for Matt to be having at that point in their relationship. So I wish they would just be able to talk it out, express their emotions, and then still perform together and you know, try the relationship out. I feel like it was forced for Matt to make a decision to break up with Rudy.
Right. And it was also clear that he really cared about her. So part of me wondered, it was so dragged on. Part of me wondered if like they weren't really going to leave, but I was so disappointed. We wanted to see them perform.
I hated that we weren't able to see them perform, because they're so entertaining and they're so good.
But probably the best performers
I think hands down. Natasha and Ryan were really good too, but obviously they blew it. But yeah, just and Rudy had a Whitney Houston song. I don't know. That probably could have like
right.
really, she could have really blown that away. But yeah, Rudy and Matt really grew on me as the season went along, mainly because of their performances, but really sad to see them walk away before their final performance.
I think they definitely were a couple that had like a lot of tension. They seemed to like bicker and fight a lot. So I'm not sure if they actually would have made it like in the real world, you know what sure. I mean? Because it does seem like they had almost like there was just a lot of friction between them. There was always something that was going on. And I think that partly probably has to do with Rudy's personality right, as
that's
well.
What I was gonna say as well.
But I'm not really surprised that they didn't make it to the end, but I'm sad as far as the performance aspect side of it goes.
And I would love to know what would have happened if they did perform, because I mean, who knows? They could have went out there and just crushed it and possibly walked away with the title, so to speak. So definitely disappointing, but that's kind of where the first quarter of the episode took us. It was all about Rudy and Matt and their unfortunate breakup and them leaving the show. So then we were left with two, Chris and Bree and Jamie and Trevor.
Right. And then we have Trevor and Jamie's date right to another room in the same hotel they're staying in.
I mean, they just don't do the dates. That's, I get it. And like, this was a fantasy suite portion as well. So that kind of holds some weight. But I just wish there was a different way to do it, because they literally just like took him to a conference room in the hotel, right, or whatever.
And they don't even eat their dinner, so how can you call it a date?
It looks like the charcuterie board was attacked a little bit. They might have had a chance to eat that.
I'm not sure. I've heard a lot of things, like a lot of jokes about how they've spent all their budget purchasing like the rights to sing the different songs.
Oh, that's a good point.
I'm starting to really notice that. Like, the dates have just been not good in the show. I think if there's a season 2 of Listen to Your Heart, they really, really need to step up like the quality of the dates, because it's just not even fun to watch them.
See, when we're watching the other seasons of the Bachelor franchise, I don't get like, I don't see a date and I'm like, oh, like that's what makes the episode or makes the show. Like, obviously we're watching the two people, but it's funny when it's like dumbed down to this level, right, where you're like, okay, what are they
Something's
doing?
Something's missing for sure.
And like I said about Rudy and Matt, how they grew on me, Trevor and Jamie did the opposite.
They tanked, man.
Every episode I was just like, I don't really want to watch you guys anymore. You guys are really boring. Mm-mm. And the age difference shows, and I think Jamie's age shows, and it was just another boring date. I didn't care too much for it.
The only interesting thing that was said was it was very obvious that Trevor and Jamie had conversations about what they would do post show.
Yeah.
Because they were talking about Trevor seemed very serious about his plans to move to Nashville. Which we'll talk about later, whether that actually came to fruition or not.
It sounded like obviously they were in conversations with one another, but it sounded like Trevor was planning on doing that even before the show and even before Jamie. And it just happened to be somewhat of a coincidence that she lived in Nashville. Maybe she accelerated his plans a little bit, but it sounded like that was his move no matter what.
Right. And then they accept the fantasy suite and they spend the night together and they wake up in robes.
Ugh,
and
gross.
Just grossed out all around. They're just... I could tell, like, it's just the same story that we've been saying. The producers were painting this beautiful picture of how they've just really changed each other and pushed each other. And yeah, maybe there's some truth to that, but it just gets oversold and it's just too much. Like, they're already trying to sell that they're like falling in love in this short amount of time. You know, they're already trying to make us believe that they have this real connection. But now we also have to believe that, like, they've changed each other musically as well, or like in terms of their careers in the short amount of time. It's just too much.
I don't know. I don't doubt that Jamie grew in this show, just watching performances. Like, in the beginning,
I'm sure they did.
She was petrified to get on the stage, but now I guess she looks a bit more comfortable regardless of what she does. Regardless of what she does with her hands. But yeah, I don't know. Sure. Like,
it's just like,
but yeah, they definitely were painting it up. But again, like, that fantasy suite and them just coming out in their robes, and I don't know, like, I just look at Jamie and I think of a 21-year-old, and like, she's the same age as us, but I wouldn't want to watch us come out of a fantasy suite. I don't know. It's just something about it is just off to me. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's just, they're both a little awkward as well together, and it's just kind of makes your eyes burn watching it. But then we have the lovely Chris and Bree on their date.
Lovely is a great word for them.
On a different, in a different wing of the hotel.
Different conference room. Conference room A and conference room B.
Right. And I think I got what I asked for. I asked for a little bit of a confrontation. They hyped it up probably more than it actually was in the previews. They made it seem like there was going to be a bigger situation. But basically, they talk for about a minute and then Chris reads the fantasy suite card.
Yeah, and they talk about, or Bree brings up how she doesn't feel comfortable and she wants to, not that she doesn't feel comfortable, but she wants to take it slow and she doesn't want to rush into the physical component. But I'm curious to know your thoughts. Do you think Chris, to me, it seemed like Chris reacted very well, obviously, and essentially echoed what she was saying. Mm-hmm. Do you think he really felt that way?
I'm not sure. It's just so hard to know what the producers push or like what we're actually seeing, because it seemed like it was, they hardly talked and he's already grabbing the fantasy suite date card. It was almost like he wanted to wrap it up. I do think that if she would have said like, yeah, let's go ahead and go, I think he probably would have.
Right.
Who knows the conversations that would have happened like behind closed doors. I think he was very respectful and wanted to make her feel comfortable. So, I think that was probably like a rational move to make, given the fact that it's been maybe 3 weeks at this point.
Yep.
probably not even.
Yeah, so my main question is, why wouldn't they take that time though? Like, why wouldn't they just accept it? Obviously there's the implications that they're going to have, you know, that they're going to have sex, but they can remove that implication and just say, we want to spend this extra time together because, you know, this is so accelerated and all that. So why wouldn't they do that?
I agree. I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, don't you want time together off camera to see if you're actually, like, I don't know, compatible when cameras aren't in your face? But then I realized that their performance was probably the next day. So maybe they were just like, let's sleep, let's be on our A game. You know, maybe that played into it.
You're right. It definitely did seem like that. And also, I just had this thought, you know, in The Bachelor and Bachelorette, we would criticize them for not taking that time because they're still exploring their relationship. But I think the main difference is that those people are still exploring relationships with other people, whereas Chris and Brie are obviously established. There's nobody else in the show for them to even explore relationships with. So they might be thinking to themselves, yeah, we'll get this time out of the show. Like, we feel good about each other. So, you know, like right. You said, we have our performance. Let's just focus on that right now.
That makes sense. But then it was like there was a sudden change the next day.
Yeah.
At least with Brie, because she was the one, her interviews were the one saying like, something's off. And then Chris was like, oh, I just love Brie so much. So I think that's probably normal of how relationships typically go. Like, maybe the girl will get in her head and overthink things a little bit. And it seemed like that's definitely what Brie was doing.
And it could have been blown out of proportion a little bit because we don't see everybody's rehearsal. Obviously, they're probably there for hours working on these songs, especially when they have two songs. So it definitely looked really choppy and really awkward at times. But, you know, part of me wonders if that's how it normally is with all the couples when they're first rehearsing. You know, you got to get your feet underneath you
right.
for these performances. So,
and they were probably so nervous too.
Probably so nervous. I would be too. So yeah, Brie was definitely in her head and it kind of seemed like there was a little bit of tension. The funniest thing to me though was their car rides to the performances and just toggling between Brie and Chris and Jamie and Trevor. And Jamie,
such a difference.
Jamie and Trevor are all lovey-dovey, kissing each other, thinking about what they did last night. And Brie and Chris are just sitting there, just like stoic, almost just
like not dead saying silent. Word. And I think that's fine because, first of all, Jamie and Trevor could have been like that for a second and then have like been silent as well. And that's just the part they decided to show.
Sure.
But this has to be so nerve-wracking, and how you like cope and deal with stress together is going to look different like between each couple, you know
what
I mean?
not that Brie and Chris were wrong or, you know, the other way around. It was just really funny to see. They did a really good job of showing that and
yeah, that was
adding
funny.
A little bit of comedy
that
to it.
That was funny.
Because it was just such a difference of dynamic between the two. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they definitely had me worried.
They had me worried too.
Brie and Chris. I was like, what's going on? Are they going to blow it? Are they not going to sound good? Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was nervous for a second. I was like, this is it. This is the story they've been telling all along of Jamie and Trevor coming from this position of, you know, suspicion and shyness and all these things. And now they're on top of the world. So I was really concerned. Spoiler, we're already kind of giving away
how they're
going to perform. But then they get to this venue. It was beautiful. And we have the judges again. We have some musical figures. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean,
in the industry.
Is Taye Diggs even like a musician?
I think they said he was like a producer and film person.
Yeah. But whatever. I didn't know these people.
And then there was Kristen?
Caitlin.
Why do I keep calling her Kristen?
Caitlin Bristow and Jason Tetrick or whatever.
Yeah. We don't even know how to say their names. But
they're great. I love them. I love Jason.
There's like this trend of the guys not saying anything and the girls being the one who gives the comments.
Well, I don't know. She was the lead. And then,
I guess that's true.
And Rachel was the lead on her season. So I guess they might just be their accessory. But I like them too, but regardless, yeah, there's the judges. There was a big crowd, definitely obviously the biggest crowd that they had performed in front of the entire time. And we've got two couples performing, which again, like, yeah, I like to see them perform, but I really would have liked to see Matt and Rudy there. I don't know. Like cool. Like they sang two songs each and they did what they did.
I didn't really like how they did performance one and two, like right next to each other.
Yeah, I thought they should have staggered it.
I agree. And there weren't comments in between. So it was just like it was a lot. I would have liked to see like performance one and some comments and then like Chris and Brie perform. But instead they chose to do performance one and two and Jamie and Trevor went first. And I will say, in the beginning, I was really liking their version of Unchained Melody. I thought it was a really like nice twist. Really different from the original. And I thought Jamie actually sounded very, very good.
Snoozer to me.
overall, it's a snoozer. Both of them were. And it's just the way they interact with each other is just very, very awkward. You can just, once again, you can just tell Jamie's not a performer. She has improved week to week, but it's just overall just so awkward. So awkward.
I don't even know what else to say other than just bore me. Like, they just, like, there's so many, like, sure, they're talented, but there's so many better performers out there. And I don't know. The songs that they sang were boring. Just boring is the word. And I know that's a boring analysis for me, but that's all I got.
I would have liked to see the couples pick at least one of their performances.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I would have liked to see them pick a song because maybe that would change the dynamic of how they perform it. But yes, she doesn't stand like centered, and I know it's a nerves thing and I can only imagine, but it's just even the way they stand, it's like they're throwing themselves on each other. And I think Tay Diggs, he made that comment. Overall, the judges love them. A judge started crying. I don't know how they made a judge cry, but they said they were adorable. But he was kind of like, the nerves got to you. You were really leaning on each other. I'd like to see you confident on your own. And I thought that was a good analysis because they've been talking this whole time about how they've learned so much from each other and they help each other grow. But I think I thought it was a good point that they should be solid individually and then be able to come together. And that just even translates through their body language.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that was really good. And I think that really reigns true in their relationship and their performances. You know, I don't think either of them individually are superstars. Together, they sound okay. But again, just, you know, sure. They improved. They did all right. But good for them. But I think Chris and Brie really, really did great.
They did fantastic. So they had Make You Love Me and then Give Me Love. I literally loved both of the songs. I thought it was beautiful. It was peaceful. It was just pretty to watch. They interacted with the audience. Overall, fantastic. I was really, really happy that they pushed through.
Yeah, it definitely scared us a little bit, the stuff that they showed us prior to their performances. But they really pulled through and they really knocked it out of the park and they deserved it.
I will say that when I was watching this, I was thinking to myself, either, like, both of these couples aren't the best performers. They don't have the best stage presence.
Sure.
So to do a tour, which was intended to be, like, one of the prizes of this show, both of them, I would think, need a lot of help and coaching to make an entertaining show and not just, like, something that's beautiful to listen to.
Yeah. But I think Chris and Brie are the one couple that they can improve more so than Jamie and Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think overall, just the way they sound, their connection together, their potential musically, I think it's Chris and Brie all the way. And I think it's good to see that they ended on that note,
mm-hmm.
and they ended up being the winners and really getting what they deserved.
Yeah, that was definitely incredible because I was really nervous that it was going to be Jamie and Trevor. Maybe we'll, if they end up going on tour, maybe we'll buy the tickets.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go see them. But, you know, throughout the episode, not a whole lot of drama. Obviously, there was a little bit with Rudy and Matt in the beginning, and then Chris and Brie there towards the end. But with only two couples to pick from as far as the winner goes, you know, it really didn't get my heart racing too much. So it was a nice way to end the season. It was a nice right. way to end. It was overall a really good, solid 6 episodes, and I do hope that they continue this concept in this show moving forward.
I wish they had... I will say, we kind of talked about during the show, like, wow, these couples have no, like, sex appeal, really. Like, we love Chris and Brie, but as far as, like, them being just, like, passionate together, we don't necessarily see that. So I would have liked to see, like, a Natasha and Ryan or Rudy and Matt going up against, like, Chris and Brie, and I would be interested to see how that would have turned out. Like, would they have chosen the couple that the producers know are actually, like, in love, or would they have gone with a couple who can really put on a show and work a crowd?
Yeah, it would have been interesting, but again, I think it's deserved for Brie and Chris, and obviously we've already listened to some of their music that they've put out. They obviously had that stuff on deck ready to release as soon as the episode was out. So once everybody knew that they were the winners, they were dropping their album, dropping their original songs together. So we had the chance to listen to them, and they really do sound good. I really like the way they sound together.
They sound really great together. Their album has, like, originals and some of the songs that they sang on the show. So it really sounded great. And I think that throughout the show, looking back, it was fairly obvious that Chris and Brie were going to win.
Yeah, we kind of were saying it from the beginning. They were front runners. And they were really fun to watch throughout the show. But let's talk about where these couples are now, at least what we think or what we know of that's out there in the media and in the public of where these couples stand now. So obviously, Brie and Chris seem to be together and still in love, making music together and living life as the winners of Listen to Your Heart. Obviously, some things have taken place as far as the pandemic goes to where they haven't been able to move in together or whatever somebody expects, but it seems like they're together, right?
Yeah, but they're doing long distance, and they recorded their album like on FaceTime and everything. So that they recorded it separately. So that was really interesting. And as far as what the tour is going to happen, Chris Harrison said like a few weeks ago on ET that they obviously can't tour right now, but it's a very likely option for that to happen in the future. So that could be something to potentially look forward to. But then Brie and Chris said that they're going to do like exclusive online concerts together. I don't know how that'll look, if you'll have to pay for like the entrance or whatever. But it looks like we can expect that from them. And Brie said that before she was planning on moving to LA. So maybe that will still happen. I think that once you kind of make it more as a singer-songwriter, you probably would want to be in one of those big cities anyways.
Definitely. And it sounds like from like the interviews we've heard them do just last night and this morning, sounds like they're taking things slow and they're doing exactly what they're doing on the show, really enjoying their time together, but not in any rush to get engaged or get married, which is something we expect from, you know, a lot of these bachelor couples. But good for them. They're still together.
The funniest one of all.
Jamie and Trevor.
Not together.
Yeah, they're done already. I mean, come
already. On. Already. I mean, it has been a few months, and, you know, this has been, like, a crazy time. They probably weren't able to be together, but just hilarious. It just shows that they made the right choice.
Yeah, really. I mean, how funny would that be if they were just, if they had won and they're just holding on to their relationship the best that they can just to make music together? That's why I think Brie and Chris is the perfect fit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just the fact that Jamie and Trevor are not together anymore. Did you see that? Like, that was for sure confirmed that they're not?
It seems like it. Neither of them have posted on Instagram or anything, but I think that they've made some comments to some news outlets. And then we have Rudy and Matt, and they have stated that they're trying to work things out.
Oh, really?
So that sounds promising. They said that they talk every single day, but are obviously quarantined separately.
Well, honestly, I'll be pissed if they end up together.
Why?
Because then they gypped us out of their last performances.
But they could still make music together separately.
Well, yeah. Will I like seek that out? Who knows?
Maybe. They're very talented. They are. So now they're really good. I might seek it out. And then we have Rytasha.
Rytasha. What a horrible name.
AKA Ryan and Tasha.
Natasha.
Ryan and Natasha, yeah. Ryan and Natasha. I literally can't remember anyone's name. Ryan and Natasha seem interested, apparently, but are not necessarily together. When I was listening to what they were saying about their relationship, it seemed like they're going to explore professional and musical aspects of their relationship. But as far as I'm actually having like a true romantic connection, I'm not sure. I think they might just realize that this would be a smart move for them. Huh. To, you know, potentially continue making music together.
Sure. I guess that's no surprise. Like, I guess watching them, they didn't seem very compatible.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that'd be cool if they like released music and stuff.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool.
Okay. Anybody else that we know of? Nobody else is?
Okay. No other couples? And then that little like square. The love square.
The love rectangle.
With Sheridan, Savannah, blah, 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 Julia, Brandon. I had no idea. None of them are together. So that's not a surprise to me. That already seems like way in the past, that relationship. So it
sounds like we only have one couple that came out of the show.
Well, it seems like Rudy and Matt are
maybe
working it out. They're talking every day, so.
Yeah, that's a little, seems like they've got a, gotta be going somewhere.
Gotta be going somewhere. Every day. It's just really unfortunate that this is one of the shows you would not want a pandemic to hit after, because like after, I mean, obviously, like,
what's no a show you would want?
I'm pandemic. Just saying, like, a lot of the show had these plans after filming and after airing, so it just stinks. Like, and the other Bachelor and Bachelorette shows, it's not that big of a deal. Like, they would just be together. They would do virtual tours, but this is really impacting, like, the award Brie and Chris were supposed to take home.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess they still put out their album. I don't know if they had to, obviously they had to do it separately, but I don't know if there was different plans for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can't go on a tour now, which, you know, might hurt the business because, you know,
it'll lose
maybe,
momentum.
Right, maybe people won't care as much because, like, right now they could have been announcing that they'll be in these cities and the show right. just announced and all that stuff. But yeah, probably ruined some plans, but, you know. Coronavirus hasn't been very kind to anybody.
No. Also, in the future, if they do end up touring, I would like to see more than just them. I'd like to see, like, a few acts with the whole cast or something like that, with them all singing together. I think that they would have a higher potential of bringing in more people.
Yeah, I don't think you'll get that, though.
Probably not.
I think that's wishful thinking.
It's wishful thinking. But overall, let's kind of give a wrap up of overall rating of the show. I don't think we've talked about things that we really liked about it, things that could be improved.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the first thing that comes to my mind, just thinking about this episode that we just watched, is that kind of hinted at it a little bit, but there was no proposal. There was no mm-hmm. engagement. And that you said that's the first that's ever happened in one of these shows.
Right. It's summer game or winter games. There were supposed to be summer games, but winter games, there was proposals. Obviously, Bachelor and Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise, there's always proposals. So the fact that that wasn't on the line as well was pretty interesting.
I'm glad there wasn't.
Yeah, there shouldn't be.
Like, even the rose ceremonies were so forced. If there mm-hmm. was an engagement, that would have been so forced and probably not successful. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that wasn't the case. But overall, you know, I enjoyed it. Like I said, it really kind of dropped off these past couple episodes. So hopefully moving forward, they can figure out how to fill this 2-hour time slot that they have with more things that are actually entertaining than just these random dates in a hotel conference room.
See, I think what would make it to where we didn't just lose interest is if they actually invested in the individual people themselves, and the fact that they didn't show like people getting date cards and really show like a lot of the dates because they were focused on the performances and the drama like the first few episodes. I think it made it harder to really attach on to the cast and really like understand and root for people. So I think that in the future they should dedicate maybe more time to that. Like there's been some funny clips that they show afterwards or they release sure. on their Instagram that shows like all of the cast bonding, more of their friendships and like the dynamics. And I wish they would show some more of that. They do that in Bachelor in Paradise. And I think this show needs that considering we've never seen any of these characters before on the other Bachelor shows.
Definitely.
So they need to make us fall in love with the characters more.
That's a good point. And something else that I'd like to see is, you know, early on, maybe it was episode 2 or 3 or something like that, probably 2, Chris forced all the couples to couple up before they perform together. So we missed out on performances from like Gabe and, you know, I can't think of other people, right. other examples, but there are a lot of people that didn't get to perform. And maybe, you know, if the show is premised around how music brings people together, maybe let some people perform together without having a solidified relationship. And maybe that progresses something and then they can actually stay on the show and actually work on a relationship. Does that make sense?
Right. Overall, I liked how they did the first like 2 weeks that they did like women have the power, men have the power, which is traditional, what we would expect from the Bachelor Nation. But then they switched it to this. All right. Now the judges have the power. So I thought that was very interesting. It was a good way to make the show feel musical, but also like the Bachelor franchise. I think overall they just need to sell the couples better and then maybe try to firm up the structure so it doesn't seem so whoa every week. I think we had talked about that.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. And then maybe, you know, I enjoyed the cast. There were some really good people. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like they, you know, obviously were very talented and, you know, it was an overall good cast. Maybe this show will pick up some steam and there will be some other people in the music industry that are looking to like come on this show to, you know, find love and all that stuff. So maybe the cast will continue to improve and will continue to get really talented people. So I hope that the show continues. I did enjoy it, but there are some things that they can definitely tweak and make it more entertaining.
Well, we did it. We officially wow. have reviewed an entire show.
That's it, right? Like, I mean, we did it. And I guess you guys, you know, if you've listened to all 6 of these episodes, we really appreciate it. We want to keep doing it. Unfortunately, like we talked about, the Bachelorette and the Bachelor in Paradise, you know, aren't happening on schedule. So we've kind of got this hole that we need to fill. But I really enjoy talking about this, and you know, it makes me look forward to these next couple seasons that hopefully we get to talk about as well.
Mm-hmm. So as far as our next steps, we have The Bachelor Presents, like, the greatest ever, and that airs June 8th, and they're going to be basically highlighting a season in one night. It's going to be 3-hour episodes, which is a lot. I mean, can you imagine 3 hours and a whole season in one night?
No, I can't imagine. So, but we talked about it. It sounds like we're going to take the first one that they release.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to watch it. We're going to talk about it just like we're doing now. And then we'd love to get some feedback from you guys listening to see if that's something that you want to continue to hear. So we'll kind of gauge how that goes and kind of take this podcast from there.
Yeah, probably the plan is we'll, I think it's going to be, I mean, like a 10 episode event, which is kind of a lot. That's yeah. It's a lot of seasons. So I think we'll just probably pick some of the more controversial and interesting ones and go from there. I don't think we'll review the entire show. Maybe there'll be something that drops on Netflix that's really entertaining and we can do that. But we both have, Brandon's about to start his full-time job and
yeah,
my internship. So things are about to get a little busier, but we want to keep doing this. This has been really fun for us as a couple to do this together, especially with a Bachelor Nation show because we love Bachelor Nation.
Yep. So huge, huge thank you to all that are listening and have listened. We hope to continue making somewhat entertaining content and podcasts for you. So continue following along. You can find us on Instagram at Back to Reality Podcast. Find us on Twitter as well. And continue to comment and rate and review on this podcast because we really do care about your feedback and we do want to improve. So thanks so much for listening and hope to talk to you soon.
See you later.